interrupting the current neo-Ukrainian, climate-challenged, behaviorally controlled, energy-starved, alien-invaded, nuclear-glowing, postulated cricketism to bring you behind a woodshed. This is Cricketude Busting Episode BTWRLM 582. And remember, being free is not a spectator sport. We get you behind a woodshed, otherwise you're going to be living in freedom. It's called freedom, they think. They will say it's freedom, it's freedom. Go look at it. Go find these words. And just change the vocabulary just a little bit. And we thought it was the bee's knees. Then we forgot that we had to keep something. And that's been our problem. And everybody who has come along who wanted to take and usurp that has done their job. Apparently unseen by a lot of people. Well, we grumble, but we don't stop what should be stopped. And I keep referring to the international law because that's the understanding of mankind dealing with itself in a national character, international character. On how you do things and how you don't do things. Make sure that we get to the basics, I think. And as I've been researching for myself, I don't think I would be talking about it if it didn't rise to the top. In fact, as I've said, international law, understanding the principles of international law, was the very first full-blown study I did, reading Benedict's on Admiralty. That gave me tons and tons of foundation. And though I can't remember it all, I think it served me very well to identify things. So you do that, you get our foundation to get us behind the woodshed, to bring the miscreants, if it's not just in your life, but in society, to bear. And to educate them as to what their duty was, despite their oath that they took, it's known. And for us, at least for us, and hopefully we get that done for us, and then we can help others on anticipating what is in their future as they find this oppression coming against us. So while you're doing that, while you get behind a woodshed, be real careful. The heat dome trope is on. The U.S. comes under extreme heat as heat dome worsens temperatures. Heat dome, folks. Heat dome? It's called summer. Happens every year. Sometimes a little warmer. Just like 30 years ago, relative to this same story, likely also contributed by El Nino, if not with help from the sun. Maybe. Greta? You see the light yet, Greta? There's the sun, right? Yeah. But there is no the virus, too, correct? Burlington, Vermont could experience its hottest three-day stretch in 30 years in a region that rarely sees this with such sweltering temperatures for the month of June. Only Vermont, folks? But it's nothing to sneeze at. It'd be easy to forget the summer-related heat dangers, as we read in the article. The blistering heat has raised concern that illnesses in people who work outdoors and those who are more susceptible to extreme temperatures. Officials in areas experiencing extreme heat wave caution people to wear light clothing and to stay in the shade or indoors if they have to be out in the heat for an extended period of time. And if you look at the story, you'll find a CDC symbol, the logo, right there on the cover for you. See, I don't know what that's. Centers for Disease Control have to do with that, but there they are, just to keep their brand right in your face on a chart that shows that it's not extreme. It's only cautionary. The northeast of the parts of the upper Midwest have come under heat warnings in the category of level 3 and level 4. The former, quote, affects anyone without effective cooling and or adequate hydration, with impacts likely in some health systems, heat-sensitive industries, and infrastructure. And the token reference to a political usurpation of the mind having nothing to do with the weather, but to plant the seed of corruption, climate change has continued to warm our globe, and scores of others have already reportedly died from heat-related illnesses, including those in Saudi Arabia, India, and Greece. Globe, folks. Now the entire earth is a light bulb. And I guess summertime doesn't just affect Vermont, but other places in the Northern Hemisphere. Fancy that. And by this sustainable propaganda, referring to climate change, apparently even blistering the Southern Hemisphere of the light bulb, melting ice and boiling off the oceans too. Right, Greta? Al Gore? Is that right? Summertime could be a killer and having nothing to do with any part of the sustainable development, political, climate change, transforming your way of life. So pay attention here. This is summer. The heat is on. Summer is just beginning. Don't freeze in the deep south below the equator like you folks fell off the face of the globe bulb. So everyone be careful out there. Mother Nature's tough. And no, we'll have to suffer these idiots blaming you for Mother Nature until they are put in a mental institution or maybe even relocated to some small rock outcropping in the South China Sea. This bit of PSA wisdom was brought to you behind the woodshed if you didn't know where you were tuned in. The news hotter than the weather here, the actual weather. This may be the biggest monetary, fiscal, and economic story in our lifetimes. End of U.S.-Saudi petrodollar pact signals declining U.S. global trade route, as referred to from an ex-IMF official. The recent lapse in the U.S.-Saudi petrodollar agreement signals the United States' international role in trade is declining, but no major shift is expected in the global power dynamic anytime soon, said Hussein Askari, former IMF executive board member and special advisor to the Saudi Arabian finance minister. Quote, no, not for now unless it leads to a big shift in the currency denomination of international trade, Askari said, when asked if the lapse will lead to a shift in global power dynamics. Quote, it is more a messaging that America's international role in trade is beginning to decline. Saudi Arabia decided to let a 50-year-old petrodollar agreement with the United States expire on June 9th. The agreement was created after the 1973 oil crisis and required that Saudi Arabia would price its oil exports exclusively in U.S. dollars and invest its surplus oil revenues in U.S. Treasury bonds. So, we're here today. Where's Henry Kissinger when you need him? Saudi Arabia can now sell oil and other goods using other currencies like the renminbi, euro, and yen, among others. Quote, I don't see a Saudi Arabia running to denominate in other currency for financial reasons, Askari said. If they change the currency of denomination, it would be more politically motivated. Askari pointed out that although the dollar is more stable than other currencies, denominating oil in a basket of currencies, such as the IMF's special drawing rights, would make the price of oil even more stable. Take note here, folks. The shift is coming. It's right on here. We're on the cusp of it. Askari also said he does not expect the lapsed agreement to have much of an impact on the role of the dollar in the global financial system. All the players he's talking about, all the players here, as I've mentioned them and pointed them out over the months coming into this. Askari also pointed out the importance of the oil is declining with the rise of liquefied natural gas, renewable energy, and electric vehicles replacing gasoline-powered cars. So you see here how this plan unfolds. You get the propaganda relative to the heat dome, and they throw the little phrase climate change out, and then this guy comes in from the IMF and talks about those three things that they're moving to underneath the sustainable development. All the elements I've been explaining is right in this article relative to this economic overthrow and change and alteration, and you heard the global financial system mentioned. It's the thing that exists when all this other stuff is changing. It's going to continue to be there. And these will all be focused into that. The global economic parity to the basket of currency for climate change, or more completely sustainable development, having not much of an impact on the existing global financial system, is what he's saying here, which should have been spelled with leading caps of the global financial system, leading caps, because it's a thing. As we pointed out, just go to Wiki, put it in there, it'll talk to you about it. In this next article, as I'm going to get to here, and then we'll see Saudi Arabia moving right into the future that they want, and we're looking essentially at the Wayback Machine here to the 1970s, the dollar in decline, expect here Americans' life to get a lot more expensive, or while everybody is in retro mood, maybe we should roll back things from 1973 back just before 1971 and bring gold and silver coin back into your lives and step back even a time a bit further and remove Roosevelt, gold heist, and other federal millstones around our lives that might still linger from Lincoln, such as the redeemability of silver to gold. They removed that. We used to have also a silver-based currency as well. And that would have been better for people as we see the prices people are getting priced out of being able to get a hold of gold. So remember, the limitation on gold ownership in the United States was repealed after President Gerald Ford signed a bill legalizing private ownership of gold coins, bars, and certificates. More importantly, the reason for repealing Roosevelt's Executive Order 6102, said to be completely immoral, as well the need in repealing the various odious Gold Reserve Acts that have happened, the Supreme Court has been more than happy to agree to while allowing the government to confiscate and without any due process, actually, or takings protections that the Constitution requires, in every state as well. These things need to be looked at and maybe look as a guide, the Gold Reserve Act of 1900, for pointers on what they were doing when gold was actually the monetary base, had a non-monetary basis, and was something. Include, look at all those points and bring silver in. So time is short as we're watching this thing happen right in front of our eyes. Amazing in our lifetimes. They shifted completely on now into a global parity system, the global system. And our Constitution says that gold and silver is the way we should be going. And there's a time out of mind wisdom in all that. Silver here would be the poor man's alternative if gold gets too far out. But you look at the prices, you're noticing the debasement of your private Federal Reserve debt note, your note. I just repeated myself, debt and note are the same word. So look at, they're telling, they've showed us. And one of the Reserves Acts that doesn't get repealed was that they couldn't do this to art. My thought on that was maybe stick your silver coin and your gold coin that's not a collectible on a 3x5 card with a picture that you've drawn or someone's drawn. Maybe your kids can be drawing this. You stick that coin on there and call it some kind of art. That way you can then trade it like art. If that becomes a sticking point as the government starts to realize that we, the people, have a way to get around what they're doing. And we're going to have to be quick on our feet and fluid in our actions in order for that to happen. It's not going to do it if we don't get behind a woodshed. That requires you to build a foundation and proceed on that and continue to correct yourself as you move. And moving in the as quickly as possible with the least amount of jeopardy so you can continue moving. Don't get yourself locked up into some pitch battle with the government. You're likely not going to win, and there's not many people that do. Find that ground that you show yourself not to be the status and not using the things that the government claims it can regulate. And as I've told you, get into property, and all of a sudden that changes the whole equation relative to what the government can do. Saudi Arabia ends petrodollar agreement. What it means to the USD, United States dollar, Bitcoin, and gold. The established financial world order for the past 50 years is now transitioning to a new and unknown paradigm as the petrodollar agreement between the U.S. and Saudi Arabia has allowed to expire this past Sunday. The term petrodollar described the U.S. dollar's role as the currency used for crude oil transactions on the world market. It traces back to the early 1970s when the United States and Saudi Arabia struck a deal shortly after the U.S. went off the gold standard. That's the 71 date I was telling you about, and Nixon did that. And Kissinger was involved in all this, how to do this and swing this on over. Empowered the government of the United States. But the problem is that was working on someone else's servitude in other countries. And so the Americans prospered because of that. Those chickens are coming home to roost. Only whoever's alive now is going to have to pay for it in lots of different ways. The agreement had a far-reaching consequences on global economy. The petrodollar agreement came about following the 1973 oil crisis. It stipulated that Saudi Arabia would price its old oil exports exclusively in U.S. dollars and invest its surplus oil revenues in U.S. Treasury bonds. In exchange, the United States provided military support and protection to the kingdom. This helped the USDA cement its position as the world's reserve currency and ushered in an era of prosperity for Americans as they enjoyed the benefits of being preferred market for global corporations to sell their wares. Additionally, the inflow of foreign capital into U.S. Treasury bonds has supported low interest rates and a robust bond market. All that is set to change now as Saudi Arabia is looking to move beyond an exclusive relationship with the U.S. and is evidenced by the kingdom becoming one of the newest members of the BRICS bloc. Quote, it's more a long-term rise, he added. Effects from this change will be seen in 8 to 12 months from today. Outcome is rising inflation and higher prices for everything, including stocks, BTC, real estate, and gold. Understand that if you're holding at least gold, its value is going to increase but that's a relative thing. If you're just in gold, it's a safe haven of value. Whatever the price is, it's like being zero, the base, the foundation, or one. It's the base of where you start counting, and everything else goes down from there, essentially. While many point to the escalating global tensions and shifting geopolitical allegiances as the impetus for the allowing the agreement to expire, changes in the power dynamics of the global oil market have also played a crucial role in the development as the world moves toward alternative energy sources. And towards renewable energy sources is the Q term pointing to the sustainable pivot, which redirects the agenda back to the global financial system, as I've explained will happen, removing the BRICS noise, take out that, and then this pivot is identified in the article much later down when you read it, when you read Jamie Tarasco, Senior Investment Advisor and Senior Portfolio Manager at Canaccord Genuity Financial, said Saudi Arabia has announced that they will be joining Bank of International Settlements, MBridge, payment system, and thus leaving the petrodollar system as the only payment system for energy. So this BIS and the West aren't going anywhere. As I've been saying, whatever Russia's Putin and China's Xi say about the multipolarity, they're all headed to the same stinking abyss and the global Siberian panopticon. This Kitco article that I found has a lot more insight and also exposes another millstone around America's neck. We read a treaty known as the Strategic Alliance Agreement that would commit to U.S. to help defend them as part of the New Deal aimed at encouraging diplomatic ties between Saudi Arabia and Israel, modeled loosely on Washington's mutual security pact with Japan, as well as explaining how this plays out and what the lack of the benefit of the petrodollar is doing to the cost of Americans. And so you should give these articles a read on how this is going to work. Understand the term petro yuan may be coming into your awareness here real soon as they shift. The pivot to China was this pivot as well. It wasn't just military. It's an economic war, and it's all going to be consolidated, but they can't take disparate economies. They have to bring them into some sort of parity. But I want to get back here to, I just kind of referenced to a Kitco article, but find these articles and read them. What I want to get back to with this Saudi move to MBridge, MBRIDGE, with the BIS, and where it's already planned to go, and not multipolar, unless as a mental disorder. The segue for this is in the statement in this article here. While the USD for oil status quo remains in effect for the time being, the expiration of the petrodollar agreements represents a significant shift in global power dynamics and highlights the changing energy landscape and growing influence of emerging economies. It's all sustainable talk. It's all sustainable development talk. So there's the global parity purpose mentioning the significant shift in global power dynamics and emerging economies. Can you say global transformation? I knew you could. These are transforming global power to where and to what? They tiptoe to it in the article by mentioning Bitcoin. And then understand that's getting into the digital currency. But let us jump into the word salad bowl with both feet. Remember the reference to Saudi Arabia joining the Bank of International Settlements, MBridge, payment system? Why? To do what? We have another here. Saudi Arabia joins BIS and China-led central bank digital currency project. For the central bank digital currency is just the future that they want. So let me remind you that the BIS, Bank of International Settlements, BIS, is an international financial institution which is owned by member central banks, and its primary goal is to foster international monetary and financial cooperation while serving as a bank for central banks. And we could read in this story, Saudi Arabia has joined a China-dominated central bank digital currency cross-border trial in what could be another step towards less of the world's oil trade being done in the United States dollars. Again, the system is in place. They're just getting everybody already to just jump into it and start using it. The BIS, a global central bank umbrella organization which oversees the project, also announced that MBridge had reached minimum viable product stage, meaning it will move beyond the prototype phase. The project has more than 26 observing members, including the South African Reserve Bank, which has green-lighted as a member this month. The better-known observing members of Enbridge, and listen to the list here who's involved. When I say it's still a global system, when they want to talk about multipolarity, listen. Is it, as I said, just said, it's an umbrella system with other members in here. And we hear that it's the Bank of Israel, the Bank of Namibia, the Bank of France, the Central Bank of Bahrain, the Central Bank of Egypt, the Central Bank of Jordan, the European Central Bank, the Bank of Israel, and the Bank of Bahrain, and the Bank of Jordan is the Middle East, the European Central Bank, the International Monetary Fund, the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, the Reserve Bank of Australia, and the World Bank. Let me know when we've left out any of the major players already. This is supposed to be multipolar. No, there's a big scam going on, and it's going to be played on the people here as this thing moves on. They're moving into digital. The most advanced cross-border CBDC project just added a major G20 economy. Is this multipolar? And the largest oil exporter in the world, they're talking about Saudi Arabia, said Josh Lipsky, who runs a global CBDC tracker, open news tab at the U.S.-based Atlantic Council. Quote, this means in the coming year you can expect to see a scaling up of the commodity settlement on the platform outside of dollars. Remember, a commodity-based basket of currency. Something that was already underway between China and Saudi Arabia, but now has new technology behind it. The technocrats have been right there to make this thing flow right through. So does being under the global central bank umbrella sound multipolar at all? I didn't think so. The move announced by the Bank of International Settlements on Wednesday will see Saudi Central Bank become a full participant of Project Enbridge, a collaboration launched in 2021 between the Central Bank of China, Hong Kong, Thailand, and the United Arab Emirates. Central bank digital currency up and running since 2021. That's right in the middle of the COVID swindle. And another thing they have all been lying about. This BIS president said he needs to know where you want to spend your last $100 for that last loaf of GMO-fortified sustainable vaccine bread, likely, because as a high goblin of the green religion, and he doesn't look like he misses many meals either, he wants to deny you sustainable heretics. Right, Greta? Enbridge is like mRNA, apparently, as we look right through this to see what they're doing. The nations are all in on it, as I've said over and over for years. So when I say all the nations will move to the existing global financial system, listen to what the backward nation is doing here as we read Iran to launch its digital real, the CBDC, into public pilot phase, June 21st. CBDCs, like the digital real, are blockchain-supported digital representations of fiat currencies that let users process quick online payments. So efficient, so convenient, so cheap, folks. Central bank digital currencies, or CBDCs, are picking up the pace in several nations around the world, and Iran is one of them. In the coming days, the country will gradually be deploying its digital real virtual currency into a public pilot phase. The Central Bank of Iran, CBI, is spearheading the trial phase for the digital real. As part of this phase, the digital currency will be issued to banking users as well as tourists visiting Kish Island to facilitate digital payments. Iran started its program for a digital currency in 2021. Same time we're hearing everybody saying, we don't know about that. So they're using the great Kobe swindle for the great reset cover, as I was saying. As you could read, as you're being told, again, the news is the notice. They're telling us what's going on. It's up to us to stop it or it's going to continue. We can read here, by scanning the barcode generated by the provided software for this digital real, you make your purchases with new methods of or transfer money, they call it here, to the wallets of other customers. CBDCs, like the digital real, are blockchain-supported digital representations of fiat currencies that let users process payments quickly, is just the gimmick. Remember, that digital representation is not actually more than the token that they tell you it is. They have upon them a third-party liability in their use. Don't ever forget that part. This is how it's completely different than even a fiat. The use of CBDCs can result in reduction of the dependence of central banks on cash notes, while also logging a permanent trail of transaction history on the blockchain network. You are apprehending this horrific token slave making details, I trust, here on this, folks, what they're doing. As per the CBI, the digital real will not require interbank settlements to facilitate fund transfer between the buyer and the seller. Instead, the funds will instantly be made available to the seller as soon as the purchase operation is completed. The distinction, this is not an international system. This is now taking that system and, as I told you, is going to be focusing it on the user and the merchant. They're two different systems. But Iran is leading, actually, the sanctioned nation. This abhorrent nation, they say, is leading this whole charge. According to the measures taken, the digital real facilitates the necessary capacities for development of programmable money, which will be the driving engine for the formation of a new business models, especially in the e-commerce space and the digital economy of the country, the CBI said in a release. It's programmable money, folks. Necessary capacities is theft by fiat cash isn't this efficient. At present, India is among nations that are in advanced trial and phases and their respective CBDCs. In India, the e-rupee CBDC is being distributed in the retail ecosystem. So ecosystem, folks. Sustainable environments. See how they did that? The dialogue about environment leads to the ecosystem, leads to the sustainable controlled environment. The CBI said the launch that will also help the CBI to better manage the risks caused by the spread of private monies. Your private money autonomy endeavors is the risk needing to be regulated, if you listen to that, such as those through the taxes, which is a civil right in America, don't you know? Right, Moose Girl? Taxes is what they're actually looking at there. Every digit and token gets monitored on a blockchain forever. At present, India is among the nations that are in advanced trials of their respective CBDCs. China, Japan, the UK, and Russia are all conducting pilot trials of their respective CBDCs. Mostly recently, Ethiopia has decided to exploit a digital currency technology. In fact, back in 2022, Nigeria launched its eNaira CBDC into mainstream adoption. So, multipolar what, you say? Multipolar world, says Russia. Multipolar world, says China. Says Iran. Says Saudi Arabia. Sanctions to force the multipolar world, insists the West. All going where? To the global Siberian panopticonocracy of the devotee digital token citizen. Just as you've been told behind the woodshed. It's right here in the news, and they're moving on it fast and furious. Someone else getting behind the woodshed, heating things up internationally. Despite or because of the international warmongering West, some very important historic actions are taking place this week. All these things this week are very big deals in my mind, in my perception. Things I would have never thought would have been happened. I would have never thought the United States would allow it, at least until I started to realize, if you will, the bankers are in control and this is going to be consolidated even two more times into what we're watching is the abject panopticon. The digital panopticon, which is so ripe for plucking and picking and stealing and all that debasing and programming your money. Understand that. Programming the value of your money by the microsecond. Key points of the North Korea-Russian landmark strategic partnership treaty and bilateral agreements. This is a big deal. It may not sound like much. As I talk this stuff over international issues and national, you don't think it's happening in the United States. You don't think it matters here. Listen very carefully, the power dynamics that's going on, start thinking forward about what's happening here and where the United States is being left, actually. Moscow and Pyongyang have agreed to enhance cooperation in all spheres and defend each other from potential foreign aggression. North Korea's state media on Thursday unveiled the full text of a mutual defense pact signed a day ago by its leader Kim Jong-un and Russian President Vladimir Putin, which Kim said would elevate bilateral ties to something akin to an alliance. formally named Treaty of the Comprehensive Strategic Partnership, the pact takes effect upon ratification unless either side suspends it. This is a very important relationship being built. The strategic partnership is quite encompassing when you read it. It's about 23 articles, even though inside those 23 articles. Get it, get the article here, track it down, start to familiarize yourself, read these things with what's going on in the world, and look behind the alliance if it's done under adversity, and think about how this is counter to the West and for a long-term condition. Again, in understand, this also brings North Korea into the global forums as well. It's been outcast. It brings North Korea in, and it will be likely brought into BRICS as well. Again, they take all the nations. The bankers don't care. All the nations finally come. Economics is different than war. Geopolitics, they bring all the economics together eventually under one roof, and you run the casino, essentially. But this is a very big deal relative to these alliances and the political, the military aspect of the strategic part of this. In fact, I understand right after this was done, North Korea told South Korea, started to do more work on their border. And they blew a treaty out of the water and said, we're not listening to this one no more. As this alliance starts to build, a mutual defense pact, very important stuff. Another building relationship Putin is moving on all this. And notice how quickly this is coming down. This just didn't happen yesterday either. Understand how long and how hard people have been working behind the scenes that we never hear this news. And all of a sudden we have the evidence of all this stuff coming on. As if the United States didn't know. It's just embarrassing at some level, but they've caused a lot of this, actually. Putin's visit to Vietnam, from historical friendship to future plans. The Russian president has met with his counterpart in Hanoi following his historic trip to Pyongyang. Russian President Vladimir Putin has visited Vietnam, heading a top-level delegation and signing a dozen strategic partnership and cooperation agreements. The trip followed on the heels of the Russian president's state visit to the Democratic People's Republic of Korea, where a comprehensive new partnership treaty was signed with Kim Jong-un's government in Pyongyang. And it seemed like Kim Jong-un is thrilled with this relationship. And it looks like, genuinely, they are friends and in their endeavors at this point. Putin met with his Vietnamese counterpart, Tho Lam, Prime Minister Pham Minh Chinh, Parliament Speaker Tran Than Man, and the General Secretary of the Vietnamese Communist Party, Nguyen Phu Tran. The main topics of this meetings in Hanoi were economic partnerships, trade, and scientific and technical cooperation. It's really similar to what happened in Korea. Again, making friends, making alliances, working together, trading what you can. This is what Russia's been doing. This is what Xi and China has been trying to do. And does, although they got a different type of attachment. Completely opposite of what the United States has been doing, which is to bring out a club and a really teeny carrot anymore. Ahead of this visit to the Southeast Asian country, Putin wrote an article for Nan Dan, the official newspaper of the Communist Party of Vietnam, where he laid out the agenda for his meetings with the leadership of Hanoi, in particular boosting investments and mutual trade. Russia food, mineral resources, machinery, and equipment are exported to Vietnam. Many Vietnamese goods, including clothing, fruits, vegetables, and other agricultural products, are in demand on the Russian market, he wrote. Let me offer again, it's your production. The United States offshored almost all of it, and then they destroyed anybody who could be a producer, like your farmers, and your miners, and your ranchers, and that's the problem here, and Russia didn't do that. Whatever government you see that they might be, or you'd like or you dislike, they moved into their production. They're showing Africa to do the same thing, and you love watching Africa reclaim all of its minerals and its licenses and kicking out the West. This is where it was at the whole time, and Putin's got an excellent bead on this thing, and we certainly don't as the United States, even though we have, I think, better laws that should be protecting us, except for the Usurpacious Bar Association, which is affiliated with sustainable development, the bringing down of nations. And while we see, as I say, they're all bringing to one, that's the economic part, they still have to have production. They have to bring everybody up in their productive capacity. That gives everybody value. Remember, the commodities are in that basket. So on the equivalent, the evidence of the United States here, it squandered its blood and treasure. Remember, Vietnam was a war. They called it a war for the United States, squandering the blood and treasure. Putin also reminded the Vietnamese of the support they received from the Soviet Union in their heroic struggle against the French and then the American invaders and to rebuild Vietnam afterward. According to a joint communique released in Hanoi, Russia and Vietnam agreed to strengthen their bilateral interaction and create new mechanisms for cooperation. What was I saying to you before about diplomacy? Don't shut the door to talking. They're actually doing the reverse of what the United States does. They're opening more doors. Well, not more door, more doors. During Putin's visit, Russia and Vietnam signed a total of 15 documents, including 11 agreements aimed at strengthening the, quote, comprehensive strategic partnership between the two countries. According to the Kremlin, the agreement signed concerned higher education, justice, combating epidemics. Doesn't say pandemic there, does it? See, they're using the right language as you look through this. And I trust it because they're using the right language in a lot of this as well. And their intentions are true enough between the two. And here, you look at these things, the United States hasn't really offered any of this, and they actually ought to have been. And so Russia's filling that void. And they're winning the day. Russia, Putin is really working this thing through, like I told you, when I saw the invasion that they had to do the incursion in Ukraine and how the United States responded, I said, no, this is a done deal. Putin's got it figured out. They've been working on this for 15 years. They got it worked out. And you're watching. It rolls right out for them and not for the United States. Nuclear technology is now in Vietnam. They're going to reconsider something they shut down. Why? Because Russia makes you special formulas of fuel for nuclear power plants and the technology. Another product. Offshore oil exploration, tax policy, customs, and transportation. Isn't tax policy interesting right there? See, this is working toward that digital blockchain. We're going to get the government's going to get theirs. And you're not going to, it's going to be really hard to escape that part. 15 documents, though. Very interesting. The scope of what's going on in a really quick set of meetings. Particular attention was given to the project led by Russia's Atomic Energy Agency, Rosatom, to build a center for nuclear science and technology in Vietnam over the next 3 years. They already have technicians from Vietnam in Russia already learning, if you will, the business of nuclear power generation and how to keep those systems up and running. Again, they've been ahead of the curve here. So this is what I'm seeing with all these 15 agreements, and they're in the same subject matter as Korea, and Russia's looking around at other places that they've already done this. Putin's just found a plan that works, and he's sticking with it. It's identical. Vietnam engaged this stuff similarly as North Korea. And what has the United States done? But threaten everyone. Totally counter to what I would have thought growing up and hearing about diplomacy, and notwithstanding we found out later about Peace Corps, even Peace Corps, go out and help people. We don't do that anymore in the world, no. And I don't know where this regime came from in the United States. I don't care who's voted in. We tend to have this attitude that we're going to go in with a big stick and a little carrot anymore. I don't care who's in the place anymore. But Russia continuing to rely on big dose of international law and making a big splash this last week. Again, listen, I told you, watch what this guy does, Putin, what Russia does. His international law embraces it heavily. And I think we can get a lot of principles back to the United States if we would just listen, watch how this guy works. He's a student of this stuff on top of it, and he executes on it. So I think we've lost that. And I think that because I did my real basic study that gave me a basic foundation to understand these principles. And a lot of it's not much different than equity in a way. You look at, so they're just principles that work. And they work, and they work, and they work. And if you violate them, they don't work. And so Putin's got the plan, it's working, and he's sticking with it wherever he goes. But this is where it starts to escalate, and this is a real important story, as a lot of these lists last week have been tactical, non-nuclear naval exercises. Russia's ships entering Cuba gives U.S. a dose of its own medicine. Again, this is that, but we've had enough, we're done. We're going to do what we got to do, and your threats do not matter. And we are prepared to defend ourselves. And now that we are going to prepare ourselves, we're going to start presenting ourselves to the world, in the world and around the world. The decision to send Russian ships to Cuba is giving America a taste of what they can do to the rest of the world, international relations and security expert Mark Sloboda explained. Quote, I think we can definitely see this as a direct Russian reply to the general U.S. declaration of conducting what it calls, quote, freedom of navigation exercises although as far as we know, no one has challenged the freedom of navigation. Sloboda explained, quote, they patrol their navy up and down off Russia's and China's and Iran's coasts, saber-rattling and threatening as part of their policy of containment. The United States has frequently run military exercises off the coast of its nominal adversaries, including China, North Korea, Iran, and Russia. Earlier this week, NATO and ATO kicked off the Baltrops 2024 in the Baltic Sea, the largest exercise in the program's history. The Russian trip to Cuba is a reminder to the United States that two can play at this game, explains Sloboda. It needs to be said that Baltrops 2024, the United States sent B-52 Stratofortresses, the bombers from the United Kingdom. They conducted, according to Russian reports, a simulated nuclear attack on the Russian enclave in Kaliningrad. We'll look at the dynamics of this property, this territory here, too, but which is, quote, incredibly provocative and irresponsible and dangerous, noting that while Russia is sending ships to Cuba, it is not simulating nuclear strikes on U.S. soil. And let me offer quickly, the United States has sent, I think it's the B-1B bomber, over to Guam, and they're doing missions, the nuclear attack bomber there. So, again, they're not doing, Russia, I wanted to point that out, also, Russia's not doing necessarily these nuclear drills. They're all non-nuclear, very important. And I think they had to do this. So Wednesday, a squadron of Russian ships, including a frigate capable of firing hypersonic missiles, will arrive in Cuba as part of an international partnership program. A nuclear-powered and capable submarine will also be making the trip along with the support vessels. And this is the interesting and, I think, intelligent response, non-nuclear naval presence with international norms for the naval visits. I think it's the 1962 Russian missile crisis. It's a 13-day-long was said to be a surprise nuclear permanent land base. They're not doing that this time at all. And they're going to stay within those naval norms for their Navy to show up and visit. And that's essentially what Cuba was saying. Again, very intelligent way to approach this. Where, and maybe little known, these American deployments at the time of the Cuban Missile Crisis, America deployed nuclear missiles in Italy and Turkey that were matched by the Soviet deployments of nuclear missiles to Cuba. So there was a tit for tat, but the press was better for the United States. But they got their point across. It's the same thing going on now, today, but in a slightly different vein relative to the threat. And you notice we didn't go all nuclear, if you will, based on this threat. In fact, the United States Navy is just shadowing what's going on. I don't think there's much of an equivalence to the Soviet missile crisis, so-called, where there's a five-day-long internationally recognized naval excursion into a port, I think it is, though people apparently with their pennies in a wad want to make it out to be more. Some of these same folks are freaked that a Russian submarine is 26 nautical miles off the shore of Florida, but notably, it's just outside of missile range of Washington, D.C. as well. So I don't even know, people don't even seem to be doing basic research anymore. The internationally recognized distance for the territorial waters of a country is about 12 nautical miles, if memory serves, and the sub is parked, at first was parked at 26 nautical miles. So why the drama, actually? And now it went out and did some firing drills at 100, and now it's at 170. So they're out there, but it's not in violation of any international law or norm or understanding. Why the United States government only shadows what they're doing. And like, probably so, you have to check out what they're doing. They do have a very capable nuclear sub. It's one of their state-of-the-art subs out there. I'm surprised it's hit the surface, but there it is. It tones everything down when you can get their stealthy attack boat under scrutiny. They can see what's going on. Furthermore, here, when we were looking at, I was looking at all this, when the U.S. does a nuclear drills under the pretense of freedom of navigation, how can this be a valid when the freedom of navigation for the United States has never actually been challenged? We hear this all the time. It's an excuse. But it's never really been challenged against the United States. All these boats just go through where they need to go through. They just mention this. So in what they do that, what is the United States proving? Well, nothing, right? But mindless masses at home are comforted, I suppose. At least until Russia does the same nothing, then comes the shrieks and the apparent crisis, as we were hearing about this. I wonder what the people are going to do if the naval squadron makes a couple of passes up and down the eastern seaboard while they moon America from the decks. Okay, that was a little bit over the top. I think the Russian Navy would be more dignified than that. Anyway, the fanciful, immature lunar excursion aside, let us entertain a thought experiment. The military has already thought about this, I'm sure, likely more thoroughly, through the mutual assured destruction part. I'll leave that part out for our purposes here. And they made another comment about that, very important comment about if they change their nuclear strike policy to first strike, the enemy will not exist. And I want the people to think about that. I want people to understand what he just said. So except for the formidable Russian missile defense that any United States attack might see that might defeat all that theory, let's take a thought experiment here. For instance, the Zircon is a nuclear-capable missile and can be carried by both the frigate and the stealthy nuclear sub. But how about parking the sub a couple hundred miles further south than the Zircon could reach Washington, D.C.? And is it bold or stupid to take away that capability to send one of Russia's newest nuclear missile-capable nuclear submarines on the ocean surface without peer-level stealth, without nuclear weapons? Or is this just kabuki theater as well? Traveling at about Mach 9, these missiles that they have, about 6,900 miles per hour, these Zircon missiles are capable of reaching Washington, D.C. in a number of minutes. They can travel about 600 miles if the information I was able to find quickly is accurate. So let's think about that territorial 12 miles, usually measured from the mean low water mark. Traveling up and down the eastern seaboard, just outside of the 12-mile territorial waters of the United States, in and upon which the Russian Navy has freedom of navigation, let's try this thought experiment. Let's say Russia lied and changed its current prohibition on first nuclear strike, and those missiles, they are actually nuclear capable. Let us say in our thought experiment, Russia intends a limited decapitation blow. The tactical missiles are then launched. And I say limited because that's the U.S. saying we can do limited nuclear, which I think is just, it shouldn't even be in the same sense. Nuclear is nuclear. It's going to blow stuff up at big layer areas. Now, so this is, they launch. They're followed by a strategic, unstoppable, multi-warhead nuclear missiles that come out and obliterate Washington, D.C. Maybe the little piece connected, the little irritation connected over there called Virginia, that corner, and the Western District of Columbia, and Western White House in parts of Colorado. Maybe that all gets taken out by the strategic stuff. Now, it's not a state over there. It's a District of Columbia, the United States, the municipality imposing all those exactions of every kind and no other equally on everyone, violating its trust obligations at every turn under color of national security in the U.S. government's war of terror. If Russia was to destroy the District of Columbia and its comprised profiteering warmongers and all of the federal government, would it hurt the United States of America and Americans? Wouldn't Russia have done America a favor? I would like to remind you of the arrival of Russian naval squadrons in New York and San Francisco to help the Union win the Civil War, countering Britain and France. The United States, and what we know is about 160-odd years ago that happened, and the Union aside, Russia showed up to help. In our thought experiment today, wouldn't Russia have also acted within international law to stop an oppressor of a defenseless people? Would life outside the Union Beltway continue? I mean, cancel culture wants to get rid of the historic documents of oppression and slavery anyway, right? The War of 1812 meant to destroy the Library of Congress in 1814, the King's troops getting rid of evidence of corruption that they were committing, work that logic through and see the truth. But Washington, D.C., making the glowing parking lot, now becomes the evidence and a monument to abject corruption and the more perfect Union, national slavery and indenturement, the reminder to those all-important future generations not to do that again. Doesn't that help? Maybe a bit of extreme, but it's a thought experiment. Russia does what those whimpering simps, we the people, were supposed to do every 20 years, the blood of patriots and all, to keep the republic extinguishing usurpation. providing we the people with the ability to return to organic establishment, as the Congress insisted, without being unrighteously deemed insurrectionists or worse, terrorists, as they call us, to ensure the government serves the people, not just us, whoever the they is. And removing the threat to Russia and the world because Americans can once again engage the good sense of avoiding foreign entanglements. This thought experiment that I propose here, it sounds like a win-win, doesn't it? Quite the dose of medicine without a spoonful of sugar, but if Russia was to destroy the District of Columbia with its compromised profiteering warmongers wreaking economic and other havoc in the world and on the American people with its unstoppable weapons, would that be so bad for American people? As American people, are we missing something here? Well, the question is open as to whether that would help. We surely know the thou shalt not steal, and these thieves in Washington are antagonizing Russia to the last Ukrainian, and the U.S. politicians executed a coup in 2014, and now we know better the reason, if and we didn't before. It's stated by a U.S. senator that Ukraine is a gold mine. Allowing Russian victory in the conflict would deprive America of access to vast mineral resources, Lindsey Graham says. In an interview with Face the Nation on CBS on Sunday, Graham accused Russian President Vladimir Putin of being a megalomaniac who is attempting to recreate the Russian Empire by force of arms, starting with Ukraine. He further claimed that if Moscow wins the current conflict, it will then take over Ukraine's wealth and share it with China. Graham described this prospect as ridiculous, suggesting it would be better if this gold mine were available to the U.S. instead. This is a very big deal how Ukraine ends. Let's help them win a war we can't afford to lose. They're sitting on a gold mine. To give Putin $10 to $12 trillion in critical minerals that he will share with China is ridiculous. Remember, Russia didn't act until almost 10 years later, and then it was to protect the Russian-speaking people in Ukraine that the Ukraine government was killing in Donbas. Russia is on record wanting a peaceful agreement, respecting prior agreements with NATO, including the U.S. and the warmonger thief Graham was not to move one inch east. The U.S. and Ukraine refused. For its part, Moscow has repeatedly stated throughout the conflict that its goals are to protect and enlarge the Russian-speaking population of Donbas against persecution in Kiev, and to ensure Russia's own security in light of NATO's expansion toward its border. Moscow has never spoken of any intention to take over Ukraine's resources, but has repeatedly stressed that the former Ukrainian regions, which have chosen to join Russia, including Crimea, must remain under its control. One day prior to Graham's remarks, Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban argued that the West wants Kiev to win the conflict with Russia so that it can control Ukraine's wealth. In an interview with HIRTV, Orban accused the U.S. and its allies of seeing Ukraine as a potentially huge source of revenue, which they will be able to control, providing Russia is defeated. He also said the conflict is a major boost for Western arms suppliers, creditors, and speculators, arguing that this is the reason why it has dragged on so long. Oh boy, a lot of profit there. That's why it's dragging on so long. This is all sounding like it's going to turn out just like it did in Afghanistan, and it's trillions in minerals, if you remember, except this time there might be only glowing glass to mine for a while. Maybe in Graham's own backyard. What are you folks in South Carolina doing? Why do you allow this warmongering murderer thief represent your state and the taxpayers? We really got to get our head wrapped on this, righter than it is. Because one thief allows others on your billion-dollar dime. Ukrainian troops sell fuel on black market. In some cases, up to 50% of the gasoline allocated by Kiev ends up in private hands, Strana has reported. The Ukrainian military is plagued by rampant fuel theft, which the authorities in Kiev prosecuting corruption mostly among the lower ranks, the outlet reported. The website sources in the military called it one of the most acute and pervasive problems in the army, with an unnamed company commander saying that fuel has become sort of a currency, on the front line. Now remember this too, folks. Fuel is currency. Lots of things can become currency. I would suggest we just make it silver and gold really quick, and maybe we don't get to this desperate point. But according to this officer, he was told shortly after his appointment that one of his duties was to keep an emergency supply of fuel for his superiors, a practice he claimed as extremely popular in other units. Quote, if we refuse to drain fuel for your superiors, you can fall out of grace with all the ensuing consequences. The worst of this is in the case of an inspection. You will be made a scapegoat, the source said. So who is Lindsey Graham's scapegoat? Mid-level Ukrainian commanders are well aware of this and to control the process of combat fuel losses, or to put it simply, theft, he claimed. The saved-up fuel, which at times reaches 50% of the total volume, is then transported to warehouses of trusted entrepreneurs with the spoils divided between the business people and Ukrainian officers. Widespread graft and embezzlement have long plagued Ukraine, which was famously dubbed the most corrupt nation in Europe by the Guardian back in 2017. The conflict with Russia has made the problem even more prominent, with Ukraine's defense ministry rocked by several high-profile military procurement scandals in the recent months. The gold mine, Graham says. It's a gold mine for him. We can't let the gold mine over to Russia. We got to profit from it. The problem is it worried the U.S. Kiev's key backer with the Pentagon report in May, noting that Ukraine's ongoing war with Russia has created new opportunities for corruption, including bribes, kickbacks, inflated procurement costs with the military Ministry of Defense, particularly for procurements of lethal items. But according to Lindsey warmonger and thief Graham, this is a gold mine. And maybe that's why the Pentagon continues to give money and material, right? What's Lindsey's nuke 'em till they glow Graham's cut, is what I was wondering. But it isn't actually about the hardware. First, there is something else to maintain. We hear it out of the French general cites lessons learned from Ukraine crisis. Speaking in an interview posted by Sunday by Defense News, French Army General Pierre Schill said the conflict in Eastern Europe has changed the dynamics of combat. He added that in addition to key advances on the battlefield, such as more extensive use of drones and military adaptation of civilian technologies, the crisis has proven that the flow of information must be controlled, quote, to influence both national and international public opinion, close quote. The arms plays a crucial role in the information domain, Schill says. Quote, without the capacity to convince and to counter adverse influence, any military engagement can fail. The emergence of social networks has reinforced this notion and has significantly accelerated the dissemination of information, whether true or false, while increasing its volume, reach, and resonance, close quote. The general proposed in advance of the week's Eurosatory Defense and Security Conference in Paris. While Western media outlets and governments have walked largely in lockstep on their Ukraine messaging, public support for funding in the conflict has waned. A Harris Poll report released in February showed that about 70% of Americans want their government to push Ukraine toward negotiated peace deal with Russia. Former U.S. diplomats Michael Goeffler and David Rundell wrote last year in Newsweek an op-ed that the West's propaganda machine has overplayed its hand in the former Soviet Republic. That whole story is overplayed again. Propaganda right there by saying the former Soviet Republic. Just name it what it is now. It'd be Russia. So the cognitive warfare never stops, however overplayed, even by those that say it's overplayed. And this is to our awareness that we have to protect against. We can be talking about out there, you don't think they're doing it here? Again, acknowledging over and over what I've been telling you here behind the woodshed, what's going on to us in America, to all people essentially, the confidence that has to be had. This French general is not even saying anything new. If he just learned that, he should have never been a general this at all. I mean, just learning that, he just kind of became a private. But he's some kind of high mucky muck general now, going to be the wisdom. Anybody behind a woodshed could have figured that thing out. But the United States apparently can't. Or does it? Well, we talk about cognitive warfare. It's like the number one domain. The United States government knows full well what it's doing. Just keep looking at the Covey swindle for these things, and you'll watch how they manipulated that whole, the information domain, how that's been working. It's still working. It's still working. It's still working through. But these thieves failed in Kyiv, failed to notice they're not playing checkers, Chinese or otherwise. Putin's 4D chess, West losing war in four fronts after picking fight with Russia. Losing a war on four fronts, quote, the growth in the Russian economy outpacing Western economies is spectacular, and it shows that the 15,000 sanctions applied by the West have blown back on them, British academic and author Rodney Atkinson told Sputnik, offering his key takeaways from Putin's recent speech. What'd you hear about this behind the woodshed? It was going to be like spitting into a hurricane. Is that much of a blowback, folks? Is that what he said? Quote, the West is losing your four wars here in one economic, that's in trade and debt, financially, de-dollarization and international payment systems, militarily, in Ukraine in battle, and in comparison of weapon systems, and geopolitically, with the massive loss of influence around the world. Atkinson explained, and didn't what Putin just did in Asia prove that out? So again, we didn't see the things happening in Eurasia. You just listen to this guy. You didn't see this guy. You just look what happened in Eurasia, and it's the same truth. And the United States is losing terribly. The Kyiv thieves are not, as a faithful government officials, protecting United States nationals either. Again, perspective from Russia. As I said, look through someone else's eyes to see what's going on in you. The carnival mirror as well. The reflection, what's going on, you see over there. A weird reflection is actually maybe happening to us here. Kyiv regime tortured U.S. journalists to death, says Putin. The Russian president has chided Washington for ignoring the incarceration and killing of an American blogger, Gonzalo Lira. Russia's President Vladimir Putin has called out the U.S. government for neglecting to even ask questions after the American journalist was tortured to death in a Ukrainian jail earlier this year. Speaking at the press briefing in Rez on Wednesday in St. Petersburg, Putin has asked whether Russia officials would help facilitate an investigation of the French journalist who was reportedly killed last month in a merciful strike west of Atymovsk, known as Bakhmut, in Ukraine. He offered to help enable the probe, but he also contrasted the response to the Frenchman's death to how the administration of the United States President Joe Biden reacted when America's blogger Gonzalo Lira died in Ukraine earlier this year. Quote, they tortured an American journalist to death in a Ukrainian prison, and the U.S. is not even asking what happened to him, close quote, Putin said. No one went to the trouble of asking what actually happened. Lira, a dual U.S.-Chilean citizen who moved to Ukraine in 2010, died in the Kyiv regime's custody in January, reportedly after suffering from pneumonia and a collapsed lung. He had been jailed since May 2023 on the accusations that he justified Moscow's military operations against Ukraine. The United States State Department confirmed Lira's death, but it declined to comment on the circumstances surrounding his incarceration. The journalist's father, Gonzalo Lira Sr., said his son was tortured by Ukrainian leader Vladimir Zelensky's government, and the U.S. officials did nothing to help him. He added that the journalist may have sealed his fate when he criticized not only Zelensky's government, but also Biden and the U.S. Vice President Kamala Harris. Because democracy, folks, our democracy. When Russia can point this out and we, the people, don't stop chewing our cud, it behooves us to restore the republic. We may be one cud chaw left from our own meat grinder, but remember, cows have guns. It's time to keep the republic, folks. And for those of you on the ex-Twitter, I have made some comments to the President of the United States and to Anthony Blinken and told Blinken to resign over this matter as well as some other things he hasn't done. So you can too, and we can start making a noise at least to start this thing. But yes, remember, we'll be chewing our cud. Cows have guns. Is that the answer? Likely not. What I'm saying is, we have to start to consider what will be the answer. This is episode BTWRLM 582. As we move this thing along after the hour, you can pick that up if you want to get to the broadcaster. Just type that in, put in behind a woodshed, maybe reallibertymedia.com on a search engine if you need to find it, and you'll get the content links I've been talking about. You can read them all for yourself as we all move this along, as I just dissect the notice that they're given. They call it news, but I call it notice. It's what there is out there to know, and then we decide what's relevant and what we can do about it, if anything. Those that we can't, we don't have to get all frustrated over, but there can't be, I don't know of anybody who can look out in the world and see that we're not headed right over the cliff on a lot of areas. And not that we have to do the overall, we can't fix it all. We just fix it for ourselves and then branch out, start out there. But as we've been talking about these Kiev thieves, the thieves are not out there. They're at home. The organized deep state crime syndicate guiding the others to cause more crimes, war or otherwise. And how is this not treason? Ex-DOD officer, deliberate accounting gimmicks support Biden's proxy war against Russia in Ukraine. The U.S. Defense Department Inspector General, understand that this is supposed to be the oversight for these departments. Every department has these inspector generals, and they give their reports. And here's one of them, has revealed in a new report that the Pentagon overvalued defense equipment given to Ukraine by an additional $1.9 billion. Quote, combined with the previously acknowledged $6.2 billion error, the total of overvalued defense articles provided through the PDA is $8.1 billion, it stated. Those errors, I wonder if there's AI doing this. That's what we could probably expect. Previous misappropriation sounds like two witnesses of the same overt act of making war on the government and as well as the law, making war on the laws of the United States to me. Doesn't that right there? Former U.S. Department of Defense officer David Pine explained, the Biden administration relies on deliberate accounting gimmicks to send significantly larger amounts of direct military aid to Ukraine than Congress has authorized, which is then pilfered on the other end, right? Pretty easy. It's like a big money laundering machine, correct? When any discrepancies are discovered in audits, they falsely label them as accounting errors in an attempt to conceal their deliberate efforts to exceed congressional mandates in regard to the amount of military assistance that they have authorized the administration to send to Ukraine, the executive vice president of Task Force of National and Homeland Security noted. Falsely labeled them as accounting errors in an attempt to conceal their deliberate efforts to exceed congressional mandates is fraud. So not only is this treason ongoing, the Department of Homeland Security that apparently has no established purpose, duty, or obligation, but merely missions, go read for it, the professed mission statement of which says, quote, with honor and integrity, we will safeguard the American people, our homeland, and our values, none of those values of which are to keep the republic, but pursuant to its stated core values, will honor concepts such as liberty and democracy for which America stands. I thought it was for which the republic for which it stands. Didn't you? So where's the values again? Does anyone else read this tripe to see the truth? Let's look at another DHS professed noble mission. The noble mission of safeguarding the American people, our homeland, and our values, and have a pivotal role in battling the pandemic, securing the border, and administering asylum law, strengthening our cybersecurity, preventing violent acts of domestic extremism, building greater resilience and preparedness as the effects of climate change prove increasingly dramatic, and so much more. We are DHS, it says. When you find out that the role of DOD played in the Great Covey Swindle, can you see what it is saying about building greater resilience and preparedness to effects of climate change? No, not the weather, the political climate change transforming this nation from a republic we the people are to keep to the democracy the great Kobe swindle is the great reset for, that statement takes on an entirely different meaning, doesn't it? I'm sure you hear or see this point. Geez, I'm so far out of the point of what I was going after. Let's get back. Trying to clamber back here out of that quick little excursion just over the edge of the stinking abyss. Someone has to do it, I suppose, for the people to see this, obviously, for once, hopefully. This agency of no purpose, duty, or obligation to the Republic knows the Treasury appropriations are being misappropriated repeatedly and is doing nothing, and is a misappropriation itself in the failure. Remember, they take money that they're doing to do this. They don't have money appropriated for them to do fraud, oversee crime, not look at crime. And it's on committing the treason despite the core value of guarding America as a military prison warden, I must presume, guarding America. I have a link here. You can get all these links to go through and read the stuff I'm just referring to in the blogcaster. This guarding America for an unconstitutional foreign enemy called democracy, and the foreign government thereby violating at least one of its six overarching missions to preserve and uphold nation's prosperity and economic security. If it's watching money being misappropriated in a matter of admitted national security violations. DHS states it makes the commitment to ensuring the security of the United States provided defense articles and technology are used in accordance with DOD's Department of Defense Golden Security Enhanced End-Use Monitoring requirements. The DOD and DHS allowing multiple breaches of law plundering the Treasury, the same agency that identifies your mere existence an extremist threat, knows about these treasons and has failed to act to arrest and prosecute this treason. And the Congress, which purports to represent you, is silent? Really? The revelations are just more of the same after last year's DOD Inspector General report concluded that the Pentagon faced challenges in monitoring all of the U.S. military equipment being funneled to Ukraine. A January report this year laid bare more similar errors. U.S. officials failed to properly track more than $1 billion in American weapons sent to Ukraine, concluding that they may have been stolen or smuggled. United States Department of Defense, quote, did not fully comply, close quote, with requirements, and much of the military equipment sent was delinquent, the report stated. Delinquent is certainly an understatement. That is also treason in using euphemism to cover acts of treason, meaning the DOD has become the national security threat itself. What is this word treason? Let's go look in the law. Go right to what they're supposed to be doing, 18 U.S.C. 2381. Again, I've got some links for here. You go look in the blogcaster, you get all this. If you're not knowing where to go look, I've got some things together. Get you started. I can set you on the path. What you can do with this is up to your skill set. I hope people start doing something. Whoever's an interesting and funny word to go read the definition for, but whoever, owing allegiance to the United States, levies war against them or adheres to their enemies, giving them aid and comfort within the United States or elsewhere, is guilty of treason and shall suffer death, or shall be imprisoned not less than 5 years and fined under the title not less than $10,000, and shall be incapable of holding any office under the United States. Section 18 U.S.C. Section 2382, misprision of treason. Whoever owning allegiance to the United States and having knowledge of the commission of a treason against them conceals or does not, as soon as may be, disclose and make known the same to the President or to some judge of the United States or to the governor or to some judge or justice of the particular state is guilty of misprision of treason and shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 7 years or both. How about rebellion or insurrection, folks? Section 2383, rebellion or insurrection is whoever incites and sets afoot, insists, or engages in any rebellion and insurrection against the authority of the United States or the laws and gives aid or comfort thereto shall be fined under this title and imprisoned not more than 10 years or both and shall be incapable of holding office, any office under the United States. Any doubt plundering the Treasury, misappropriating from the Treasury, isn't acting against the authority of the United States or the laws thereof, isn't making war on those laws. I may add here, go back up into 18 U.S.C. 3 and 4 that I mentioned. Almost very similar wording is there. If you know or knew, you got to go tell somebody that there's a, if you know of a crime, a general crime, you got to go say it. That's right there. I tell them you can use that. Whether anybody listens is not my point. The point is it's there. Maybe we're going to prove out that no one really listens. That that's the problem for us as a people. And then we shouldn't have a question why things are going down the tubes the way they are. The DHS mission to democracy. Go read the words, folks. I guess I'm getting uppity here about this. Go read the words. You'll see what they're saying. Understand the euphemisms. Understanding what they're not saying. Don't talk in your head about what you think they're talking about. The U.S. DHS mission to democracy is a direct threat to the organic constituted government. Republican form which it stands, the republic for which it stands, the Republican form representative establishment constrained by law, that is, that democracy is the levying of war against that government, another element of treason, even if by insurrection or rebellion is fulfilled. And I say that because there's interesting court cases, and you got to really track through what this is. Given this ongoing treason that I see the definition of the elements fulfilled by what this report is talking about, how has any official knowing of it, of this and not arresting or prosecuting it, not also committing misprision of treason or even insurrection and also violating that 18 U.S.C. Section 3 or 4? I'm not asking a question here, folks. Where is Congress relative to this breach? And if it is nowhere to be found, does it not prove the civil authorities are powerless to cope with an element evidencing ongoing war if the remaining declarations of emergency for various named war aren't enough? The DHS itself proves it. Does Congress then represent we the people? And if there is no representation of the will of we the people for all those of you constitutional insisters, where does the Constitution say the duty and obligation resides to remediate maladministered government? And after that mouth-breathing exercise, you enjoy the consent of the governed, kiss your chains, but don't ever consider yourself a patriot. I'm going to throw in a link to a little article that discusses cases and the elements of the crime of treason, as well as insurrection and rebellion, so you too can nose them when you seize them. Everyone is familiarized with the crime of the insurrection since January the 6th, right? I have a link to a Republic of Philippines Supreme Court case, en banc, considered the full court, number 1582, dated in 1904, the United States versus Damasio Langneson. Yeah, read this article and apply it to that, too. Read the article. Identify the guardrails of an action one perceives must be taken. Stay on the right side of the law with these lines, and then re-look at what's been going on. And look how it's been contorted. And look at who you're looking at that's actually committing that. And so just the insurrection. Whether or not the errant derelict government in all its branches would characterize these acts as any class of treason, overthrowing of the government without response has occurred, and that's on us. And the icing on the cake with this relative to this article is the ex-Pentagon employee said, the process of fueling the West's proxy war against Russia and Ukraine, U.S. arms manufacturers, quote, are building at capacity in an effort to replenish drained U.S. weapon stocks. The White House is further demilitarizing the U.S. military and seriously degrading its ability to fight and win major wars. The violative foreign entanglements problem aside here, does seriously degrading the U.S. military sound like an intention to national security? National security, not the pretense used by the DHS or the DOD today, but real national security against enemies, domestic. What is the transformation to democracy setting we the people up for that isn't a threat to national security? Inaction by we the people is the consent of the governed. Occupied or not, as I've talked over and over. I have a reference for we the people who might want to decide to bone up, we can just start you on a path. Get into the Blogcaster, find the link. It's a U.S. case decision on treason, Kramer versus United States in 1945. You need to look for these things. We need to understand what we're talking about. We need to know the elements. We just don't spew words. And I think as long as we spew words, we're going to be ineffectual as a people. When we start to understand really what the elements are and how they've been subverted, who's doing the subversion, I think our focus will happen a lot better on the people that deserve to be dealt with justly, if you will, and whether or not that can be put through our just us system, I'm not so sure either. There's another treason going on there. I've mentioned lots of ways to get at that. As I read the parts of this next notice, keep firmly in mind, now we're shifting gears just a little bit, but see, it was the DOD that did all this. It's just all a continuum of attack. Why you need to keep the terms straight, why you need to know what you're talking about. They use euphemisms to get around us. This is a major tool that they use. It's mind control. They feed you into, it's an ongoing advertisement. You know, it tastes great. Well, what is that? Didn't know it was butter. What is that? What is all that? Like, we don't know. They don't define anything, actually. But if you look at what their action is, you know them when you see them. And then we go to the objective basis, the black and white, that sets the elements of what was wrong and that it was wrong. Now we're not speaking from a subjective opinion, and we could always refer to that immediately, and we don't pull from that. But in this case, just moving on, what the DOD imposed in a different forum, but along the same lines, again, the transformation to democracy. Listen, you got to read the words. They're not interested in the republic. Should be a big clue. So there is no, in this article now, there is no the virus. Keep in mind these things. There is no vaccine. Anything patented is lab-made, synthetic, novel, not natural. Being international in scope, there is no such thing as the WHO, the WHO, not the Rock Group, not the OWL, not the little people from Whoville, but the World Health Organization invented pandemic in local laws. Pandemics don't exist for local jurisdictions. Every nation that could wanted in on profiting from the planned Event 200, the scamdemic, as we can pull through a couple of issues of evidence, but not the only part, but I'm just going to reference those just as a thought. Keep these in mind. This is the story of what went on to obtain market share. When we read Pentagon smear campaign against China's COVID vaccine echoes anti-vax attack on Russia. It almost is sounding mind-blowing to me what they're actually doing with this, but let's keep reading. When I keep telling you the United States was established as a commerce nation in league with and in benefit to the crown, they didn't jump far from Britain. This is where you start to see that part as well. Recent revelations about the Pentagon's clandestine smear campaigns targeting China's COVID-19 vaccine cannot but call into mind similar dirty tactics used against Russia, other rival vaccines, during the pandemic. Politically motivated smear campaigns and double standards in the coverage of coronavirus vaccines abounded in Western reporting throughout the pandemic. The latest revelations about the secret Pentagon-led anti-vaccine information campaign against the global South echo similar targeting of Russia's Sputnik V jab. Efforts, I'm glad they didn't call that a vaccine there, it's a jab too. Efforts to discredit both Russia and China vaccines were waged in total disregard for millions of lives. At the same time, mega deals pushing Western vaccines were expedited despite the trail of significant reactions and even death linked to them. Let me add another thing to keep in mind. The WHO, not the Rock Group, the OWL, or the little people from Hubo, the World Health Organization is a pharma broker. So keep that in mind, too. The American authorities put their actions down to the need to, quote, mitigate efforts by Russia to boost its influence in the region, which, as the department's paper argues, would be detrimental to the U.S. safety and security. Which I'd like to remind my listener, U.S. safety and security is referring to commercial dominance. Furthermore, the article goes on to say, investigative journalist John McEvoy revealed in March 2021 that the U.S. health attaché persuaded Brazil to reject the Russian COVID-19 vaccine. It was suggested the American health attaché sent to India, Mexico, and South Africa were likely charged with similar responsibilities. In January 2021, Le Monde revealed leaked contents of Pfizer vaccine-related documents of the European Medicines Agency. It appeared that the EMA was pressured into fast-tracking approval of the jab, despite concerns regarding its effectiveness and safety. U.S. pharmaceutical giant Moderna filed 2 lawsuits against competitors, Pfizer and BioNTech, over their alleged infringement of its mRNA patent to sell billions of doses of their Comirnaty jab. Moderna claimed that Pfizer and BioNTech illegally copied the mRNA technology without its consent and then used it to develop Comirnaty, the COVID jab of which they sold billions of doses. So go back and apply the code. Patented, novel, not natural, billions of bucks worth of U.S. safety and security. Then remember, the technique used to sell vaccines purport to stop something the natural defenses of your bodies of which would adapt over time to take care of. And then they claim on that natural response, they claim the eventual resistance was due to their vaccine. In this case, there even wasn't even a vaccine because of what it is. Understand, too, the COVID-19 gene therapy was patented by the CDC. I don't even know why this patent argument is even between the two, unless it was some kind of utility issue. Oh, how do they package it? But it was already developed and patented in 2003. There was 2, actually, patents from the CDC about this. In this case, what they did was they cooked the books stating a seasonal influenza is communicable disease, offer a novel treatment claiming to stop what will eventually run its course through society as seasonal illnesses do, then claim it was a profitable patented elixir that did it. Then the books are corrected or removed altogether, removing also the evidence of how the magic trick was done. I explained all this early, just within a year, of how this thing was coming through. And then they blame any minor lingering illnesses on long COVID and point out any other cause of increased death on anything but the novel elixir. When people understand that here, this organization, there is no spoon, there is no virus. The nemesis COVID-19 did not exist. You'll immediately see this article is the ongoing propaganda war for your mind. The players on the world stage perpetuating the global and great Kobe swindle so that they can do it again. That's all that's happening in this article. It's actually quite phenomenal. And to a lesser extent, they hide those officials in the countries that got duped into believing without resorting to their local communicable disease law that there was nothing more than what a stuffy head fever so you could rest medicine wouldn't have taken care of or would without all the irreparable harms people around the world suffered or the side effects and accepted the jab or not due to their dereliction of duty to their local laws. This is the trick, and we're hearing it right here as they compete between each other in order to bring validity to any one of them so they can do it to us again. It's really fascinating to watch. It's just a big investment scheme wherever one lived here is all that this was. It was we get a little more insight here on the comprehensive information war relative to all this and how it was waged as we hear Pentagon. Remember, this is all DOD now. You hear all of this stuff is with the Department of Defense. Gather that up in your mind, too, to see how pervasive this insidious treason against the people all over, all around the world. Is. The Pentagon anti-vaccine campaign against Russia, China revealed threats to cybersecurity. Nothing is left untouched around this. Russian Direct Investment Fund recorded a targeted and coordinated campaign against vaccine in Russia, including through various channels of disinformation, such as the fake accounts, anonymous sources, biased experts. RDIF stated the response to a report that the Pentagon waged a secret campaign against the Chinese coronavirus vaccine to undermine China's position during the pandemic. What position can only be referring to commerce, the dominant supplier, stealing from the treasuries of those countries, allowed by either duplicitous government agents or that are on the take, or derelict public officials. According to the RDIF, according to information, attacks on international markets included false claims by the UK Cybersecurity Center that Russia-linked hackers had attempted to steal the data from the United States, United Kingdom, and Kyrgyzstan on the development of coronavirus vaccine. This was all known, though, folks. If anybody read the news, the notice would have told us all of this. In addition, the United States Department of Health and the Human Resources openly wrote in a report about how it convinced Brazil not to use Russia's Sputnik V vaccine. This is market share, the global war for consumers. And I'm asking you, don't be their commerce consumer or information propaganda slave or otherwise. This is where you really have to put yourself separate from that system and learn to look at what you're looking at, not what they're trying to get you to look at. That you think that there's anything going, again, there is no, once you see there's nothing there, this was a big propaganda stunt, and you just have to give it to them how profitable it was, how persistent it was, how convincing it was. The problem was they were selling bioweapons. And that's not a question. It's not my opinion. It's not just to say the spectacularism. No, it's in the law. Local communicable disease law said they didn't stop the vaccine has to stop a contagion. It doesn't. That means there's no dual use. Title 50 requires a bioweapon has to have a dual use so that it's not prohibited. If it doesn't have a dual use, it's prohibited. And Title 18-175 says a prohibited bioweapon has a criminal prosecution capacity. Just go read it. And so this is not my opinion. This is exactly what wasn't. Talk about misprision and treason and felonies and all that. 18 U.S.C. 3 and 4. This is what I've been talking about. So the propaganda machine and campaigns never cease against us. Read between the lines. Again, in this next article, remembering again and again, and maybe it's hard to do this, and it's not just to say it and to repeat it. This has a basis that you need to know from, because if you know that basis, you're going to be able to protect yourself in the future against these all-encompassing campaigns. And this is just this one in health. The campaigns come in multidimensional areas of your needs of your life. This one happens to be your health, or the appearance of authority, the supremacy of it, and I've shown you how to defeat all that. And simply just find the duty of a local official and make sure you jump in and make sure that they comply with it. You don't do anything except to make sure that they're complying with the law. But here, read it between the lines again, remembering there is no vax, there is no the virus, there is no pandemic from perspective of the local health jurisdiction. There are promotional yarns that we hear in these articles of a health event that never happened other than giving the seasonal flu a new name and promoting that as a killer, which people fell for, never demanding the lawful proof. Stigmatizing vaccines causes serious consequences, Sinovac said after U.S. anti-vax campaign reveal. It's being revealed to us. Now, if we didn't have another thought, I don't know how anybody can deny these things. It's not over once you see this. You take a step back and think about what they did, and think about how wrong it was, and then what are we going to do to stop it? It's not just any one of us. It's all of us, ultimately. But it starts with a few of us. Like causing mistrust, trust and confidence, folks, like causing mistrust between science and public health, among others, China's leading vaccine supplier, Sinovac, told the Global Times after Reuters revealed the Pentagon had conducted a secret anti-vax campaign to undermine China's during the COVID-19 pandemic. Quote, in history, there have always been people who have wrongly attacked vaccines, which have caused huge disasters. Stigmatizing vaccines can lead to a series of extremely serious consequences, such as lowering vaccination rates, disease outbreaks, and epidemics. social panic and unrest, and the crises of trust in science and public health, Sinovac told Global Times. But this article continues the narrative that takes what should have been done as if it was, and goes from there, and it assumes all local health officials' lawful duties and obligations and due process had been accomplished when and where none were at all anywhere done. And so read for this that way. As I said, that there are continuing propaganda campaigns attempting to legitimize a fraudulent pandemic, non-existent viruses, and the unlawful dystopian fear-mongering response without due process. You watch 80% of the population of the world fail to ask for their due process. The governments are trying to reset all those things by placing blame on someone else when they were all in on it. They need you to trust the science, rely on government to protect you, disregard your due process protections, etc., for the novel global operation that they want in the future coming. Citing three former U.S. military officials, Reuters report mentioned that the operation was pushed by then Special Operations Commander Pacific General Jonathan Braga, who was reportedly a longtime advocate of increasing the use of propaganda operations in global competition. It's about global competition, not health, with you potentially acceptable the acceptable collateral damage, which in any regard, only purported to mitigate symptoms, if they even did that, because, so more importantly than symptoms, no jurisdiction anywhere non-fraudulently identified an infectious agent in a principle of contagion which a valid vaccine would stop, as a local communicable disease law everywhere requires. And what was in them anyway, given they were admittedly being oncological gene therapies, where they pegylated lipidized nanoparticle synthetic protein strings, analogs mimicking cryogenically solidified cancer cell technology, before the synthetic cancer cell DNA preservation technology was ready, is what I think we saw. They're going to get this thing even more refined, folks, as this is coming along. And they pushed this a little too quick for the technology. You know, the biosilification process on the Event X Horizon, inspired by mimicking ancient DNA-embedded fossils, which instead of the Trojan horse lipids they used, the polymerized terpenes or calcium carbonate in preserving DNA, but they do that with those chemicals without cryogenics. Remember, they had to use those freezers. You must have heard about the similarity or distinction in the fully disclosed COVID bioweapons there, right? They told us about this, right? I mean, it's all the rage, don't you know? The operation aimed to encourage local populations to question of the Chinese and the Russian to question the safety and efficacy of vaccines and other aid provided by China. And what happened when we questioned the safety and efficacy and identified them as the bioweapons? We got condemnation, censorship, shadow banning, removal, tyranny. These were going to be safe and effective at home or else. Apparently, what is good for the lockstep goose wasn't good for the better gander at home, where the military condemned the competition abroad in the national interest, of course, at home. Right, Donald? Art of the deal, Trump? What happened here? They did complete reverse. Sources involved in its planning and execution say the Pentagon, which ran the program through the Military Psychological Operations Center in Tampa, Florida, disregarded the collateral impact that such propaganda may have had on innocent Filipinos. Quote, we weren't looking at this from the public health perspective, said a senior military official involved in the program, as per Reuters report. Quote, we were looking at how we could drag China through the mud. Yes, dragging China, Russia, and everybody else in this global marketing competition setting up for the great COVID reset, which all these sustainable gulag global players are implementing with the WHO as the broker, is what they're doing. This is not about health. It was dragging China perceptibly through the mud so they could have United States market share and security. So there you have it, reading this through, reading these last few articles. We have further confirmation that the Pentagon Institute Operation Hindsight 2020 has described in late 2019 the military would, as I did behind a woodshed, that it wasn't about health, it's about the climate change, but contrary to popular demand, climate change is not about the weather. COVID-19 is a multidimensional stalking horse of military execution to treasonously change the political climate. The military, being a death cult, never looks at anything from a health perspective, especially when the attack is planned at warp speed. Right, Trump? And what did happen to all those really expensive cryogenic freezers and trucks that apparently no other country needed? Now, what was the purpose no other country needed? The cold temperatures that they used helped prevent premature activation of the mRNA and subsequent protein production before reaching the desired targeted cells within the body. No DNA production. How does it produce the protein without creating the RNA-DNA hybrid from the messenger or mRNA? But self-replicating protein without cell interaction is scarier yet. Are these cryogenic freezers available surplus for cheap? Or are they just pre-positioned now for preserving samples from or for the next self-replicating protein without cell interaction attack? Because they intend to kill you or your little ones. As we're reading the news, looking back, like in a rearview mirror. You get behind a woodshed, you can look forward. But no, we got to look in the rearview mirror. A century of evidence that vaccines cause sudden death, infant deaths, SIDS. The disturbing parallels between sudden infant death syndrome and sudden adult death syndrome. Written by a Midwestern doctor that we find on MidwesternDoctor.com. His analysis is quite the read here. For those of you that might be interested, whatever the question might be, the experts may say it doesn't cause it. I think you need as much information as you need in order to convince yourself what's going on. This author says, Midwestern doctor says, I was compelled to write about this topic for a few key reasons. The children who died from SIDS and their parents deserve recognition and justice. Because of the attention highlighting SADS, S-A-D-S, adult death syndrome, the vaccine dangers in general, I believe this may at last be possible. Infants cannot speak up for themselves other than by crying, which is typically ignored. When you observe these vaccine injuries and the trauma they experience, it's very apparent what happened, but in almost all cases, those around them can't see it. So I feel I have a duty to speak out for those without a voice. Understanding how the government has handled SIDS provides essential context for understanding how it has dealt with SADS. New evidence supporting the link between SIDS and vaccination emerged during COVID-19. In this article, I have done the best I could to provide all the evidence clearly demonstrating this link with a focus on that which can explain why vaccine causes SIDS. Additionally, I have also discussed much of this with the U.S. government's researcher who specializes in vaccines most associated with SIDS and has requested their privacy be respected for understandable reasons. The key theme I have tried to illustrate is the need to stand up for the forgotten victims of medicine. Over the years, I have formed a close connection with many of these victims. I believe we all must stand up for them because in almost all cases, malicious agendas by those in power are first tested on vulnerable groups no one advocates for. Then, once the methods are sufficiently redefined and explicitly condoned by the public, those same atrocities will always be committed on the general population. The story at a glance, and I'm just summarizing this, it's really way too long to touch here. I'll get to that part in a moment. To maximize profits, the pharmaceutical industry will often identify vulnerable groups who lack the ability to advocate for themselves or refuse pharmaceutical products. when the DPT vaccine was first developed over a century ago, it was tested on Irish orphanages. Recently, mass graves of those early test subjects were discovered. Since the DPT vaccine hit the market, physicians around the world have observed waves of infant deaths following its use, which were often sudden and inexplicable, along with many other severe side effects. Died suddenly, folks. Toby Swindle died suddenly. Numerous data sources correlate increasing childhood vaccination rates with increasing infant deaths. Those deaths played a key role in creating 1986 National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act. That forgotten data compromises the majority of this article. When the COVID lockdowns happened, the vaccine safety activists predicted the lockdowns would lead to unprecedented drop in infant deaths since children were skipping their vaccines. This ended up being exactly what happened, and it was reconfirmed by infant deaths dropping in Florida after the pandemic prompted many parents to begin not vaccinating their children. So those are the highlights of this article that he covers, extensive amount of information. You're going to have to qualify it, I think, as an information library in one spot for those that are interested. I'll leave the rest for you to read on this article and qualifying his proof. And if proven, use it for yourself or others for now or into the future. Done, which is something being done to those all-important future generations they talk about. Because atrocities will always be committed on the general population, as he wrote. It didn't begin and doesn't end with the great Covey swindle unless your inaction once again helps to continue the next century of profitable reoccurring nightmares because the people slumber on their rights, obligations, and duties. And to remind you, what are those rights? Your local communicable disease code will explain the duties of an official that they have to do before you even have to start acting. Am I saying to disregard something that's real? Absolutely not. That's when I first introduced this back in 2019. I was talking about the needle in the haystack of noise. There might be something real that you have to pay attention to. And I said before, we're going to find out, and I think it showed up. They don't really have what they have been saying they have relative to actual organic enhanced fortification of natural viruses. All they have is these synthetic mimics. And I'm happy to see that at some level because they can't really produce the worst of it. And let's hope that holds for a long time. Now, this whole thing over into something that we're moving into holiday, summer season holidays and this and that. And we've run across a couple of them. And I'm going to go quickly through a discussion. There's, again, more links to go through. I can't go through all the links. I just give it a support information that needs to be read to be understood. Somebody I follow a bit just to see what they say because he describes himself here as it's Joaquin Flores, describes himself as a geopolitical analyst at the Strategic Culture Foundation. And he has a telegram. And I read what he says. It's, again, his perspective. He's actually American living over in, I think it's Serbia and Belgrade, or somewhere about there. And he has interesting views, like lots of people do. And I try to give myself a well-rounded view through their eyes. Here he's written something about the United States, looking back at the United States and America. And I'm not, as I was reading it, it started to show me this problem of the euphemisms, the lack of diligence in actually studying things while claiming that you've studied something. And I don't want to criticize him too much, but I just found some of these failures to be something that I needed to critique a bit without going on and on through the dialogue and all this. I just want to hit some points. I'll give you the link to this. But what he's posted, it's really not about him. It's just this view about certain holidays and where they might have come from, what they are promoting. But what people, I think, are missing, the way I've looked at what's gone on in America, what I call the Lincolnization of America, the post-founding father era, and the things that are given to us to embrace and promote. He wrote, "Happy Jubilee Day of Juneteenth." And then he writes in just a part of it, and I didn't qualify the whole thing, but I wanted to focus on this. "The celebration of Jubilee Day on June 19th or Juneteenth both draws our attention to the unconscionable practice of chattel slavery, but also how we got past it. And that hooked me a bit, and I kind of got a little bit lost, and he later on refers to another article, and you need to read these articles, and you need to put your thinking hat on, and then you need to know, look back at what happened in America, despite all the historic retellings and the reaccounts that you'll see, really think about what's being said. Joaquin then references the life and times of Frederick Douglass. Happy Juneteenth, everyone. Here is a transcript of a lecture I delivered at RTF on the subject of Frederick Douglass, written by Cynthia Chung. And I have to say, it all sounds really good, sounds intelligent. But when you start reading the terms, the article is has a terminological looseness, and it's actually full of errors, even though it sounds right. It sounds like a perspective you could take. It's just that perspective doesn't appear to be correct to my mind when you start applying things. Though I won't do any of that analysis here, it would have been quite an extensive discussion on that article, almost line by line. An entirely different framing can be made from the same words when applying a reality that is almost unfathomable to most people today. To those that have listened to me for any time should be able to see the fallacies in the article, the assumptions that are made, which aren't actually so, the licenses given in conditions, all should become relatively apparent how this doesn't really gel quite well. Maybe not so apparent, though, would be the forming irrelevant questions to intellectualize as if to obscure some of these matters. It caught me as well. On the other hand, it was interesting to see, notice how close she gets in this article, eventually down back in the bottom, near the end. She gets some of the underlying principles despite the fallacies. And that seems to me to become really important to observe. Supposed intellect that she was putting is overriding a natural instinct that speaks near the end, really just accepting what Frederick Douglass said on when he was observing nature in people, not what he ended up doing with that knowledge or not using that knowledge, as I'll talk about in a moment. But the principle here related relative to exalting Juneteenth from any political spectrum, people are missing that everyone now on the USS More Perfect Union suffers involuntary servitude and indenturement to the government-imposed benefit of civil rights, that you can read it for yourself at 42 U.S.C. 1981, extortions of every kind. Frederick Douglass is referred to in the article as a driving motivation, respectful of abolition, and he was telling people truthful things about the condition of slavery early in his life, but he himself falls for the charm of the silver-tongued devil Lincoln, agreeing to equal treatment but failing to question who and what was going to be the master imposing that equal treatment. Other, quote, counter-political arguments that I was reading, stating that they are the real story, it still is an acceptance of this equal right to suffer enjoyment extortion at the hand of a government master. And I have a link for that, too, as we go through. Like I said, there's so much to go through on this. But I want to keep focused on the point of this. We can sound like we understand something. We can criticize some people. I'm criticizing right now. But when you get down to what really went on, and what we know them when we see them by today's response, and the law for today, it doesn't amount to anything as an abolition of slavery. It's the embrace of it, and then the imposing of it as a right. And people accept it. But back to Joaquin Flores's perception, we never got past it, as he asserts. No, slavery enveloped everyone. Extortions of every kind is about chattel control of people. If Juneteenth is for the abolition of slavery or somehow a political gift, why is it celebrated given the federal government imposed equal right of enslavement of everyone under law, 42 U.S.C. 1981, through wrongful extortions of every kind? How is an equal right at 42 U.S.C. 1981 to suffer extortions of every kind something to celebrate? And this occurred to him despite Frederick Douglass knowing well about being mentally enslaved before he too succumbed to an untested emotional feeling, out of his own words, you'll see in that article by Ms. Chung, and the, quote, trust without reserve or doubt, his words, in The Great Atoner, when he first met with Old Honest Abe. to then continue Lincoln's bidding to enslave the country. Everyone equally colored by the law. Yes, this Juneteenth National Independence Day, a federal occupier's promotional holiday, and messing with Texas when you go find out about where it starts. First celebrated in 1866 is again a reminder every year proving what Frederick Douglass said, though he didn't respond to it himself when he started to put it in practice, that it proves that people remain enslaved mentally, and that's all it takes to keep them on the plantation. His words. And as you can read by the writings of the articles, people will even polish their shackles and chains, soon to become blockchains. I wrote in response to a posting by Blacklisted News called Mission Creep, how the police state acclimates us to being modern-day slaves. I responded, they are already acclimated. It's 42 U.S.C. 1981, and still we hear of Juneteenth or celebrate an Independence Day. It's quite the cognitive dissonance. Or I responded to another post by Steve Loves Ammo that he posted, trust me, the government's worst nightmare is black people and white people united. And I responded, they are already united equally, but they might be shocked to find out how. Hopefully soon, Steve Loves Ammo. Hashtag 42 USC 1981. We the people have a fundamental misunderstanding about our country and the one the federal occupier enforces. But make sure all you all celebrate that Independence Day if in your needy. Hope something I said wakes you up a little bit, get your attention, get you to studying, get a foundation under you, prove it to yourself. Use what I have to say as the entrance to a path. Take your own journey. Come back and tell us what you find. People need it. This is episode BTWRLM 582. I'll be with you next week. Tech Diffs or nature willing.
It echoes cold. The hour is near. Behind the woodshed, the truth you'll hear. Every Sunday, the clock strikes three. Hal's voice rolls like thunder, fierce and free. Pull up a chair, lean in close, lessons to learn. Dose by dose, behind the woodshed, no stone unturned. Hal's words ignite, the airwaves burn. Stand up, listen, it's time to learn. Behind the woodshed, where truths are earned. Law to liberty, the spectrum line in Hal's court, no place to hide. A cantaloupe bass ready to burst for unspoken truths and unquenchable thirst. Behind the woodshed, no stone unturned. House words ignite, the airwaves burn. Stand up, listen, it's time to learn. Behind the woodshed, where truths are earned. So mark the time when Sunday comes. Behind the woodshed, beating drums. House voice, a beacon, bold in the fight for truth. Next week, heed the call. Behind the woodshed, standing tall.